How many of you here this morning are getting older? Can I see your hands? Anybody getting older? Now, how do you know and how can you tell if you're getting older? Well, you're hurt. Well, that's true. You know, loss of hair, someone said. You guys are alive today, aren't you? Well, you know you're getting older when most of your dreams are reruns. You know you're getting older when you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. You know you're getting older when your mind makes commitments that your body cannot keep. You know you're getting older when that little gray-haired lady that you helped walk across the street is your wife. You know you're getting older when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know you're getting older when you sink your teeth into a juicy steak and they stay there. Yes. And you know you're getting older when your pacemaker opens the garage door. Did you know that people 65 and older, are you ready for this? They control 80% of the wealth in our country. Wow. And by the year 2009, one out of three Americans will be over 50 years old. One out of three. One third of our country. The only problem with growing older is that as soon as your face clears up, your mind gets fuzzy. You know, and maybe you didn't realize it, but inside every person, every older person in this room is a younger person wondering, what happened? You know? Oh, well, we have some older saints in our midst. In fact, Wally's sitting up there. Did you know that Wally is so old that he knew the Dead Sea when it was just sick? How did I find out? You know, why do we still struggle? Why do we still struggle with becoming, and why do we struggle with being older? Why is that? Because our society worships youth. You know, we're familiar with the advertising, right? You've seen it on television that tries to convince us that our gray hair can be turned back imperceptibly to its natural color, presumably because gray is unnatural, right? And we've all seen the commercial of the two bathing beauties, totally thin, sleek swimsuits, sporting identical smiles of perfect white teeth, billowing blonde hair, sparkling blue eyes, and then the commercial tells us to decide which one of you is the daughter and which one of you is the mother. Right? The result is that there's not so subtle message that being young is great and being old is bad. And the fallout of that is devastating, isn't it? As a culture, we're becoming less and less mature. We're esteeming being stupid, dumb and dumber. We value being childish. Kids are smart. Adults are dumb. And in contrast, the elderly in our midst, with all of their wisdom, with all of their experience, with all of their knowledge and stability, are being discarded and at best ignored. But even though our society does not value the older, God does. He does. Take a look at these verses listed in your outline. Proverbs 16:31, a gray head is a crown of glory. Proverbs 17:6, grandchildren are the crown of an old man. Proverbs 20:29, the glory of the young man is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. God values the seasoned people in our midst. And that is why Titus chapter 2 lists the older men first. If you look at Titus chapter 2, verse 2, take your outline there and read with me in your outline. Titus 2 verse 2. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. So we're going to look at that today. This letter to Titus, though, let's put it in perspective, is about living what you believe so you attract others to what you believe. That's what the whole point is. Live what you believe so you attract others to what you believe. And chapter 1 told us that being an attractive church or a healthy church is to have godly, qualified, functioning leadership. They'll take care of the false leaders or false teachers in your midst. And so therefore then the next step to having a healthy and attractive church is to have a godly congregation, to have you walk according to the Word of God and live in holiness. That's the the second step. And so verses 1 through 10 of chapter 2 tell us how each member of God's household is to live so we can be attractive to the lost and bring glory to God. And verses 11 through 15 of chapter 2 tell us why we should live this way. And Paul tells Titus, look, if you want to get the church in order, start with the elders. The elders will deal with all the false problems at the end of chapter 1. And the very next step, are you ready? Older men. Live according to the Scripture. Live soundly. That's the word healthy, which means godly. And that's chapter 2, verse 2. Now you say, why should older men live the way Titus states? Well, are these kind of external legalistic rules that we just kind of stick on ourselves? Are these cultural issues only for Crete and not applicable today? Are these only for the committed and not for the average Christian? No, but these qualities do assume some things that I need to remind you of. They assume that God's grace is working in your heart already. They assume that you're motivated by the example of Christ, that you want to be like Jesus. They assume that you want to obey God's word from your heart. They assume that. They assume you desire to be an effective witness for Christ, and they assume you have God's glory as your highest goal. In other words, these qualities assume you have a new heart. These qualities assume that you've already met Jesus Christ and you're in a genuine relationship with Him. And the question this morning before we even begin is, do you? Because if you don't have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't live these qualities. Because only Christ can live these through you and enable you to live these qualities and develop them. As some of you this morning rightly say, are saying, what does being an older man have to do with me? I'm not a man, some of you are saying, and some of you are going, I'm not older. And I don't want to be. Well, if the Lord tarries, you're going to be older faster than you think. Man, it's in fifth gear with me. I don't get it, And if you are older, then these are the things you're supposed to pursue. Because if you don't, you're not going to bring glory to God. You're not going to be an effective witness for Christ. And you're going to lose all kinds of blessing. Another reason is if you're a part of the church, well, the church is a family. It's not an organization. It's a family. And this family, the older men in this family, are to behave a certain way in this family, and this is what this passage is all about. And as a family, you need to know that. All of you also have parents or grandparents or relatives who are older, so these qualities become a measure for you to pray for in them. Each of you deal with older people at work, at school, your teachers, and here at church, so these will help you know what to do. And by the way, something very important, the consequences of young people who do not honor the older is so severe, you better know what God is talking about here. So this verse is for all of us. So let's find out, what does God say about older people, okay? Even if it's never going to be one of you, all right? What does God say? Well, in the Bible, old age is often associated with such things as maturity, wisdom, and patience. Ideally, Job says this. Read with me Job 12, verse 12. Let's read it together. Wisdom is with aged men. With long life is understanding. Now, that's not always the case. Because increased age typically means decreased energy, fuzzy vision, hard of hearing, more aches, and often more depression and cynicism. The last chapter of Ecclesiastes kind of demonstrates that. I just listed a couple of verses. You ought to read the rest of the chapter. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. As we grow older, change can become hard to accept. Life can become less fulfilling, less satisfying, more disillusioning. It's easy to become a creature of habit, and the longer a habit is practiced, the more deeply entrenched a habit will become. On the other hand, though, for the Christian, old age should mean greater love for God. It should mean greater love for God's people and God's purposes and the church. We should value those who've spent years in fellowship with the Lord and the study of God's Word and in service to the church. I mean, a church is blessed. Would you agree with this? When it has believers who can say with Paul, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Shouldn't we rejoice in that? Moses, he was 80 years old. I want to remind you of this. 80 years old when he began to deliver Israel. He's out there in the wilderness. He's called to Egypt at 80. I mean, old age did not excuse him from the Lord's work. And those godly older saints who bring strength and stability and wisdom to the church should be cherished. Look at how Israel was supposed to treat the older in their midst. In Leviticus 19:32, read that out loud with me as well. Leviticus 19:32, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." You know what? It used to be in our culture, we used to stand when an older person entered the room. And that's what he's talking about. Stand in honor of the aged. By old age, though, you know, itself, it does not make a believer more godly. Old age itself does not make a believer more faithful or satisfied or effective in service to God. And that is why Paul gives these qualities to Titus. These are clear mandates. And sometimes older men need to be admonished to live godly. And so that's what's happening right here in this verse. He's admonishing them to live in such a way that honors the Lord and His character as well as the Word of God. So let's look at these. What is God saying here in verse 2 of Titus 2? Let me give you some general introductory thoughts. First of all, one in your outline, God is urging older men to live godly. He's urging them. Now, Paul does not use the word admonish or urge there in verse 2. Did you notice that? He does not urge the older men or the older women or the younger women. He doesn't do that. But if you look down at verse 6, would you look there in Titus 2? At verse 6, he says, likewise, what? Urge. He tells the young men, and then he also repeats that in 9, urge them in verse 9 to live a certain way. And because he uses the word likewise there, basically that transfers back to the first three groups. And so in a sense, he's saying, Titus, admonish the older men to live godly. Just be careful how you do that. Do it respectfully. Okay, but he does admonish them. Secondly, in your outline, in verse 2, God is expecting older men to be the spiritual leaders. He lists them first here because in the household of God, as well as in their large, first century household, the older men were the spiritual leaders, but understand the impact of their example will depend solely on their godly character. Their impact will depend solely on their godly character, and that's why Paul insists that they live these sound, healthy qualities. In verse 2, number 3, God is establishing these qualities for older men to continually pursue. This isn't just a one-time decision that you make. This is a lifestyle you're supposed to pursue. Notice the verb to be. He says, older men are to be. That verb in the Greek is present active. It means you older men are to do these continually. You know, it was Aristotle who said, like archers, we shall have a far greater chance of hitting the target if we can see it. Well, Paul's delineating the lines of the target, the goals of godliness, and he's saying you are to pursue these continually. Don't miss these. These are what you're to go after. No matter what your age, as a man, these are your qualities that you're to be pursuing, and old men are to be demonstrating. Number 4, in verse 2 again, God is reminding everyone, from children to elders, not to neglect the older saints. Don't neglect the older saints. You know, it's easy for a church to forget its older saints, but it's those saints who can be the strength and foundation of a congregation. Do you realize how valuable older saints are? One older saint wrote this. He said, "Remember, old folks are worth a fortune. They have silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, stones in their kidneys, lead in their feet, and gas in their stomachs." I thought that was funny. But more than that, you know, it's older godly saints who steady the church. They give us confidence when we doubt. They cheer us on with their experience. They keep us solid with their maturity, and they fire us up with their vision. And number 5, in this verse, in this context, God is also indicating that spiritual maturity usually comes with age. He's indicating that spiritual maturity usually comes with age. Now, you ask, who are the older men? Who are they? My answer is anyone older than I am. There is some confusion as to exactly how old an older man is. Paul uses the same word older. It's used only 3 times in the New Testament. And he uses it in Philemon 9 when he was in his 60s. He said, "Yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you since I am such a person as Paul the aged." That's the word older in Titus chapter 2, verse 2. The only other time older is used in the New Testament is used of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, who questioned the angel about becoming his, a father. And he says in Luke 1:18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man." That's the same word, older, in Titus 2:2. "And my wife is advanced in years." He obviously thought that older meant that both he and his wife were past normal childbearing age. The Bible is really not definitive as to what older means. In ancient Greek literature, the word older was sometimes used as men as young as 50. Some of you aren't encouraged by that. There are other studies that indicate that the average lifespan of Cretans when Paul wrote Titus was in the low 40s. Men didn't live past 45, typically. The word old man comes from the root word presbyteros, which is where we get the word elder from. And in Titus, 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, it says, "Let a widow be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old." So it's low 40s, 50, 60. How old is an older man? My guess, would be 45. That's not unreasonable to say 45, is it? Some of you aren't smiling. I mean, after all, when you're 45, you're no blooming flower anymore, right? You've bloomed. You're in full bloom. You haven't withered yet, but, you know, you're in full bloom. I don't know. That's my silly opinion from a younger minister, but I think biblically the strongest possible evidence of what older means is somewhere around 60. Somewhere around 60 seems most of the evidence points there. But understand, as Paul's talking to older men here, it's not exclusively chronological age, but it's also spiritual maturity. And yet, let's balance that. Normally, we would expect that a reasonable amount of time to elapse in a person's life before they become an older, more mature Christian. Spiritually, though, in terms of maturity, a person who comes to Christ will mature if they're responding. Did you get that? If they're responding, they'll mature. If we have been Christians for a few years, we should be more mature. Time should work for us. It ought to be, we ought to be a lot further down the road, but the only way we can accelerate spiritual growth is to respond to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. To respond. In other words, in the Christian life, maturity and spiritual strength is not determined by how long you've been in the boat, but how hard you've been pulling at the oars. You're responding to what God is doing. But usually, being spiritually mature means you are older, meaning you've aggressively followed Jesus for years, you're living dependently on the Holy Spirit, you're filling your mind with His Word and walking in obedience, and yet there are many people who have lived as Christians for years, and yet they mature very little because they didn't work at their walk with God. So what does God say to you mature men? Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Look at it again. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. So let's look at each one of these qualities. Number one in the outline, spiritual maturity means living balanced. Living balanced. Verse 2 says, older men are to be temperate. Temperate means to live moderate. It comes from the word sober, from the root word to abstain from wine. New Testament says elders are to be temperate, deaconesses are to be temperate, and older men are to be temperate. This quality is for anybody who wants to mature. Temperate means older men are watchful. They're alert, clear thinking. They're steady in the storm. They are the experienced sailors on the ship of faith. They know what's coming, and they're steady. Older men are to show us how to live balanced. You know, most of us suffer from the peril of the pendulum, don't we? I mean, we tend to react rather than act, and the pendulum swings one direction, then we become aware of it, and we swing the other direction, and we kind of live in extremes. And, you know, do I know anybody who's balanced? Is there anybody balanced? Well, not really. It's just one person swinging from one point and going to the other point. You know, I mean, they're just kind of caught in the middle on their way somewhere else. And I think that Satan spends a lot of time pushing us to those extremes. Because it really doesn't make any difference whether he pushes you to the left or the right or on some side issue, just as long as he gets you off target, and it's only the Spirit of God that can keep us balanced. So it's so refreshing to sit down with men and women who have balance because it's come from God, and a spiritually mature man is not out of control. He's not confused as to what's important. He's clear-headed in his thinking. His priorities. He's never overindulgent in every area. So take this true and false test with me found in your outline, okay? And see if you're really temperate and evaluate yourself. True or false, I am not out of control, but under Holy Spirit control. And that's just a blanket statement in any area. True or false, I am clear as to what is most important in life, and I live those priorities. You know, there are a lot of people who say Jesus is number one in their life, and yet they live as if the bank account is. A lot of people like that. True or false, I am clear-headed in my thinking. True or false, I'm not overindulgent in my lifestyle. Are you temperate? Are you spiritually mature? Evaluate yourself. True or false? Number two in your outline. Spiritual maturity means living worthy of respect. That's the word dignified. Verse 2 says, older men are not to be flippant, shallow, directionless, or irresponsible. They're to be serious, they're to be noble, they're to be purposeful and committed. And the New Testament says male and female deacons, older men, and even our thought life is to be dignified. The root word for dignified comes from the word worship. And it gives you an idea of what this word really means. All of life is an expression of worship. It's not just what we do here when we sing. It's all of our lives before God. And a mature person doesn't divide their life up into this is for Jesus and this is for me. A mature person says it's all for the Lord. All of it. That's how they live. You know, when you were a kid, didn't you live differently and act differently when your parents were watching? Come on, be honest. Yeah, you behave differently when mom and dad were watching and when they weren't watching. Normally, when someone's in the presence of the President of the United States, they act differently. They act differently. You know, a dignified man or woman is one who lives in the presence of our King. They live in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. Now, being dignified does not mean that somehow you don't laugh. Being dignified does not mean being a gloomy killjoy, a pickle face. Being dignified doesn't mean you can't enjoy a good time or a Christian who is haughty, high class, and talks above it all. It doesn't mean that you're crusty and sour like Zeke. One afternoon, Zeke took a walk in the backwoods and he came upon a blacksmith shop, and he didn't know the blacksmith had been working on a horseshoe. He'd fouled up that horseshoe, he finally tossed it aside, and now it was black. It was still flaming hot, but it was no longer red. And Zeke walked in, and the blacksmith saw him and wasn't looking forward to a conversation. And Zeke looked at the horseshoe in the sawdust, and he reached down, and he picked it up, and he dropped it really quickly. And the blacksmith kind of looked at him over his glasses, and he said, "Kind of hot, ain't it, Zeke?" And Zeke said, "No, it ain't. Just don't take me long to look at a horseshoe." Now, why did he say that? Why did he say, "Well, yes, it's hot"? You know why? Because he's crusty. That's why. He's sour. Dignified is not that way. Let's see if you're spiritually mature by checking out how dignified you are. In your outline, a dignified person is first serious about eternal things. You know what? I can help you find out if you're dignified or not by just asking you to evaluate what do you laugh at. Because a dignified person doesn't walk around being serious all the time, but they know that there are people going to heaven and that there are more people going to hell, and they are very serious about that. They're serious about eternal things. They don't joke about going to hell. They don't joke about immorality, vulgarity, or anything else that's sinful. They don't laugh at that. They don't laugh at what's tragic. They don't laugh at what's at the expense of others. They love the things that God loves, and they grieve over the things that grieve God. Secondly, a dignified person is less attracted to the pleasures of this life. I mean, older true believers have lived long enough to see good friends and family members experience serious misfortune, suffer great pain, maybe perhaps die at an early age. They better accept the imperfections of life. They're better accept the inability of material things to give lasting satisfaction. They know what really matters, and so they give their life to Matthew 6:33. They seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. That's a dignified person. Number three, a dignified person longs to gain respect. They want to be respectful. Gentlemen, you need to know that respect must be earned. And if you're constantly saying, "I don't get much respect," maybe it's because you don't deserve it. Ask yourself, men, every single hour, every activity, every word, is it building respect or is it shredding it? Because a dignified person is worthy of respect. Are you spiritually mature? Number three in your outline. Let's look at spiritual maturity from another perspective. Spiritual maturity means that you are living sensible. You live sensible. Sensible is used five times in this letter to Titus. It was a major issue on Crete, and by the way, you know it's a major issue today. The two words that make sensible up in the Greek language are to save and the mind. It means to save the mind, control your thinking, which results in controlled behavior. It's often translated sober-minded or self-restrained. Older men basically think before they act. That's what he's saying. Now, the New Testament has two main focuses for sensible. First, in your outline, sensibility means controlling your appetites. Over the years, the older godly man has developed the strength of mind in which to allow him to govern every passion until it finds its proper pace. He's not in bondage. Everything finds its proper place in his desires and impulses, his passions. My old friend Ray, we used to go over and have dessert with this wonderful family all the time, and we always had ice cream once a week, and we'd be eating our ice cream, you know, and I'd be scraping my bowl and licking it, you know, and Ray would always leave a chunk of ice cream at the bottom of his bowl. And week after week after week, you know, months would go by, and there's this chunk of ice cream at the bottom of his bowl. And it used to really, really bug me. And finally I said, Ray, why do you leave out? You're wasting ice cream. It's a valued commodity. Don't waste ice cream. And Ray said, I just want to know that I am controlling the ice cream, and the ice cream is not controlling me. I hated that answer. You know, that's sensibility. Controlling. You know, the mature man, because he's so sensible, when he gets to middle age, he doesn't panic. He doesn't leave his wife for a younger woman because he's trained himself to be sensible. Secondly, sensible means focusing your thinking. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we are taking every thought captive to obedience of Christ. An older man focuses his thoughts on the things of God. He does not only not fritter his life away, but he focuses thinking on God and his character, Christ and his cause. And what are some practical steps then that we can take to be sensible in our thinking? Let me give you some real practical suggestions. Number one, read more and watch less TV. Is that a practical application? Isn't it interesting when you ask somebody whether they read a book, you say, what did you think of that book? But you never ask them that when they watch a television show. You go, how'd you like it? Why? Because television doesn't make you think, but reading makes you think. You got to be reading 10 books, 20 books, 40 books a year to keep your mind alive. Anything by Jerry Bridges, anything by A.W. Tozer, anything by J. Oswald Sanders, even anything by MacArthur will keep you thinking, thinking, thinking. Number two, while talking, discuss ideas more and people less. The sorriest conversation is people talk. And if you want to know about people, buy People magazine. They'll tell you all you want to know. And if that's not enough, buy the Inquirer. They'll tell you what people left out. What's the matter with us? Talk about ideas. Talk about the truth of God's Word. Talk about theology. Talk about God's character. Talk about the mission of the church. When all you talk about is people, remember Proverbs 10:19, where there are many words, transgression is what? It's unavoidable. You're gonna sin. You're gonna sin. Number three, read the Bible more than you do the newspaper. And believe it more absolutely than you do the news. You know that you realize that 80% of Christians do not believe in absolutes? They surveyed our country. 80% of Christians do not believe in absolutes. That means that there's only 20% of Christians who believe the Bible. Because the Bible is absolutes. Therefore, 20% of the Christians are... it's unbelievable. Isn't it incredible how we'll talk about the news as if it were fact, and we talk about the Bible as if it were some form of debatable myth? When it's the newspaper that's really twisted and distorted toward the view of a reporter, and only the Bible that's absolutely true all the time. Many are moved by stories in the news and bored by the truths of the Bible, but to be sensible, take the Bible as truth and talk about it more than politics, the news, the weather. Are you sensible? Are you dignified? Are you temperate? Now take those three words together, and they'll describe a man who is respectable in the sight of other men. This is a man that other men will trust. This is a horizontal respect here. And now Paul's going to tell the older men that they're to be sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in perseverance. The first three marks of maturity are to be complemented by three marks of godliness. And now instead of just horizontal respect, he's saying older men need to have an on-fire vertical relationship with God. The word sound there is a participle. in verse 2, and it connects it to the other two words. So literally, the end of verse 2 says, sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in perseverance. Healthy in faith, healthy in love, healthy in perseverance. And the participle is in the present tense, which means it goes on continually. This is a lifestyle. These are to aim for all the time and manifest this everywhere. And again, the word sound means healthy, so that means this is the sign of a healthy, older Christian. Healthy, older, mature Christian. So number 4, let's look at these last three. Spiritual maturity means having biblical convictions and a fresh relationship. Biblical convictions and a fresh relationship. Sound in faith, older men are to be. Now, what does that mean? I got to give you an option today, and I want to be honest. I want to be a good exegete. You have basically two choices. I believe it's both. The Bible does not indicate either way. Commentators take either way. But I wanted to give you the choice, but I believe personally that it's both of them. It either means objective content or the faith, the content of truth of the Scripture, or it means the faith in their subjective relationship and their faith in Christ. Let's look at both of them. I believe there's strength in both of these arguments. First, sound in faith means having doctrinal convictions. Older men know what they believe. They have doctrinal convictions in harmony with the Word of God. Not the latest book, not the big event, not the new view, not the hot speaker. Mature men are men of conviction. Men who stand for truth, because man, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. There are a lot of men today who end up with both feet firmly planted in midair. They have no convictions. Very few are willing to stand up and say, that's wrong, or that's absolutely right, because the Bible says so, period. And are you ready to start sharing the gospel, speaking the truth, speaking out against sin, clarifying theological error when asked, or pointing out the off-track, you know, viewpoint? Your goal as you mature as a man of God is not to grow passive about truth, but passionate about truth. Hey, if the homosexual community can speak out for a perverted lifestyle, don't you think it's about time we Christian men begin to speak out for the truth? Amen? One of the benefits of growing older is that you should begin to sort out the essential from the trivial. And sound in faith is to have healthy convictions based upon the truths of our faith. Secondly, sound in faith could mean, and I think does mean, having an intimate relationship with Christ. Sound in faith also can refer to a real, alive, working, committed faith relationship with Christ. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, take the test again listed in your outline. Circle this. As you get older, is your confidence in Christ more or less? Is your reliance upon Christ more or less? Is your faith more active in public or passive in private? Is your trust in Scripture greater or lesser? Is your walk service-oriented or pleasure-oriented? Is your confidence in God's character stronger or weaker? Is your trust in God's sovereign plan secure or unstable? Is your faith more on fire or lukewarm? Sound in faith does not mean a lukewarm faith. There's a tendency for the evil one to work on the law of diminishing returns, where your faith grows cold the older that you get. But the opposite was true in the life of Paul, wasn't it? For 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter of the last letter of Paul's life, it's filled with passion. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. I'm ready to lose my head, but I ran the race. I pray that as the men of our church grow older, that they increase in intensity and vision and zeal for God's glory, because there's a strong tendency in our society to retire in Florida. There's a strong tendency in our society to buy the motorhome, to push the rocker at the lake and play golf. But you get the sense from the men of the Bible that they sought to live every moment to God's glory. Not, I'm going to do this till I'm 60, then I'm going to walk beaches. The older men I know are seeking to be self-supported by 50 so they can give the rest of their life to the work of Christ any way they can. If they swing a hammer, they want to do it for Jesus. Others are attempting to work 2 days a week and giving the rest to impact the kingdom of God. That seems to be closer to the biblical example than to retire to the easy chair. Are you sound in faith? Is your faith growing? Is it more alive? Older men can't just also be doctrinally strong and relationally intimate. But number 5 in your outline, spiritual maturity means they show a tender, truthful, and sacrificial love. Tender, truthful, and sacrificial love. First, God's goal for mature men is to become not only men of conviction, but first in your outline, men of compassion. Men of compassion. Have you ever run to an older man who was so crusty he was cynical? I've had the opportunity to run in some circles of some older godly men, and I made covenants early on in my life that I would not end up that way. So you can hold me accountable. Sometimes, as the years go on, men get really, really hard. And I don't know about what your observation is, but as men and women grow older, they either grow sweeter or more sour. They grow better or they grow bitter. And older godly men will be healthy in love. They'll be tender. Paul says, look, life's too short to spend all of your time with a root of bitterness or inflexibility. You know, you just won't accept any new ideas. The years seem to take sympathy away. There's a danger of criticism and fault finding. And he says, don't do that. Focus on the love of God until heaven. Don't focus on unfairness. Don't focus on incomplete goals or disappointments. Ask God to give you a compassionate heart for people. Ask Him. Second, sound in love means you're a man of sacrifice. Older people can tend to become increasingly self-centered in their later years, and so Paul wanted Titus to remind them, you've got lots of love to give, and so look for people to care for. Look for the most needy. Never forget, the mark of spiritual maturity occurs when the believer takes the bib off and puts the apron on. Did you get that? Younger, immature Christians are those who wear bibs and they expect others to meet their needs. Mature saints have learned to don aprons with the joy of serving others. Which attire are you wearing? And thirdly, sound in love means to be a man of truth. Sound in love does not mean the older a saint gets, the more sentimental, artificial, and sloppy in love he becomes. Sound in love is not a man who says, oh, I don't care if they squirt me with the hose. I don't care if they ruin the lawn. Kids will be kids. No! Sound in love is not a deteriorating grandpa love. By this time, an older man should be disciplined and deep and action-oriented in his love, where he's learned to confront in truth, rebuke in love, and they've been patient when someone needs to work out an issue. I'll just be real honest with you. Some of our elders play this role in my life. I'll call them up on the phone, you know, with lots of juice, ranting and raving, frustrated over something, and they'll let me finish. I can see them on the other end of the line, just nodding, you know. And then they'll just go, you know, Chris, you're wrong. Well, thanks a lot. You're wrong. You're not seeing it right. And they love me, and they finish that out. That's what it means to be sound in love. Truthful. Are you sound in love? Number six in your outline, spiritual maturity means staying tough. Staying tough. Paul says that older men are to be temperate. They're to be dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. That's endurance, steadfastness, patience. As we grow older, we normally lose our strength and it causes us to feel discouraged. And so Paul reminds older saints to be steadfast. Endure! And don't replace that with faint-heartedness on one extreme or become stubborn on the other. But the older that we get, with its increasing infirmities, disappointments, and growing loneliness, it's crucial for us to develop a staying tough endurance. Steadfast. Perseverance is not stubborn, it's steady. It's what provides the ballast for the church in the storms of this world. Keeps us solid. And when it gets tough, it's the older men who are to say to all of us, God will show us a way. He has in the past. I've heard that said. God will show us a way. So how do you know you've got perseverance? Let's see if you can match your life to this. And it's best seen in first in your outline when you're under pressure. When you're under pressure. The Greek word perseverance paints a really great picture of what Christ expects here. The Greek word is hupomeno. It means to remain under. And it's the picture, and you saw it in the Olympics, you know, the little Hercules guy, you know, they lift up this weight and they just hold it there. And they gotta hold it there until the judge goes, okay, you can drop it. That's hupomeno. Some of you are going through it right now. You've got incredible stress and pressure in your life, and you're going, I want to get rid of this thing. I want to shed it. But the judge hasn't said, not yet. You know, not yet. He hasn't given you the release. That steadfastness, that staying under the weight. How do we normally respond? How does Chris normally respond in his flesh? Well, I'll cry. I want to whine. I want to complain. Does anybody else struggle with that at all? Oh, thank you. Oh, praise God. Those are all of the flesh. Hupomeno. Remain under the pressure. That's what builds strong Christians. James 1, verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The years in older men should temper a godly man like steel. You want to know what a man of steel really is? It's an older man who's stayed under the pressure and built up strong character. That's the true man of steel. You also see perseverance not only in under the pressure, but secondly, in an unbreakable commitment. Perseverance is a military term which means to hold up courageously under fire. It's the ability to take the bullets and then hang in there with no compromise. To be sound in perseverance is a man's attitude toward his circumstances. And the ultimate test of your Christian life is not simply your entrance in the race, it's your endurance through the race. So many men fade in the stretch, don't they? You know, some older men stop parenting when their kids get in college. That's devastating. They stop serving in the church. They stop loving the stranger. They stop making new spiritual friendships or reaching out. They fade in the stretch. But a godly Christian is unswerving in his commitment to Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in his life. And Paul says, Titus, I want you to set these goals out for the older men. I want you to teach it to them. I want you to come alongside them, Titus, personally, and share with them about these qualities, because this is God's gauge. This is a mature man of God. This is for every father. This is for every leader and every older Christian. Aim for it. In conclusion, let me share with you four crucial statements. Number one, if you're older, be a spiritual example. Be a spiritual example. Older men are to be the spiritual examples of the entire church. They're to challenge all of us. You know what you older men are supposed to do? You're supposed to inspire us to keep staying faithful. Wouldn't it be great if every man over 45 in our congregation were a true patriarch? An example for everyone else to follow? Plus, realize that these qualities in verse 2 are not only required of older men, but they're desperately needed in the church today. We need your example to show us the way. You know what the older saints, not only are they to be valued, they're kind of like furniture. They are. Because you know when you get a new piece of furniture, you talk about it all the time because it's new, it's nice, it's shiny, it kind of highlights your home. It's a good thing. You know, but then when furniture gets used, you get real comfortable with it. It's just, this is good, I like it. But you know when it gets really old and becomes an antique, then you value it. You treasure it. You take care of it. Right? That's what we need to be toward our older saints, valuing them, treasuring them. Number two in your outline, if you're younger, honor the older. Honor the older. Even though society doesn't honor the older, you will because God commands you to. Both Old and New Testaments, you know, they teach men and women, whether believers or not, they're to be treated, if they're older, with a special respect. Doesn't matter if they're Christians or not, they're to be treated with a special respect by those who are younger. Repeatedly in the Bible, children are told to honor their parents. You know, this was so important to the Lord that in the Old Testament, if you struck or hit your parent, it deserved capital punishment. You were to be killed. It's not that older people are beyond correction, but when the older person commits an offense, he's to be reproved with respect and care. 1 Timothy 5:1 is very direct. Look there in your outline. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a what? He's in the family. Appeal to him as a father, and older women as mothers. And again, we're to treat each other as family and honor our fathers. Number three, regardless of age, link up with the other generation. Link up with them. Titus 2:4 tells the older women, train the younger women. 1 Peter 5:5 tells younger men, rank yourself under the older men. We need each other, and by God's design, not by ours, by God's design, older and younger are not to be separated in the church.
They're not to be, but they're to be connected. Now here's the question. Will the younger saints in our church, as a result of hearing the Word of God this morning, will you adopt some older saints here? Just say, I want you to be a part of our family. Adopt them. Care for them. And will the older begin to train the younger? That's the point. Number four. All of us will either let our time work for God or let our time work against us. Our time either works for God or it works against us. Don't ever forget, your time is either for God or it's against you. Would you read with me Ephesians 5, verse 15? Let's read it out loud together. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. If you're here this morning and you spent your life on yourself, it is not too late. Give your life to Jesus Christ today, live for Him, and you will not be disappointed. And by the way, if you have walked with Jesus Christ and your life has been forged in truth through humble dependence upon the Holy Spirit, rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. Amen? Let's pray.